GM of the Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us to discuss. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jay?
Good. Very well. Give me your thoughts. Is there one? Which rule change do you like the most, and which one do you like the least?
Well, I won't go into what I like and dislike, but I'll say that all of the rule changes were basically instituted to improve the game, and there's some that I'm curious to see more than others, and I think the one of the ones would be the 5-yard rule, where the defensive back is allowed to make contact, and then after that, receivers get to to run free, so to speak, or at least run without being impeded. And I think that one is the one that allows the game to have a better flow offensively. And I think when we go to football games, we enjoy defense, and we don't get me wrong, we love our defense, but we wanted to get rid of the clutching and the grabbing down the field. I think that's some could get lost in the interpretation of this new rule, is that we wanted to allow the receivers and the defensive backs to play with their skills, and not have a wide receiver being held 12, 13, 14 yards down the field, and a quarterback not having the option to throw to him, and it doesn't look good. You know, when we watch it on film, it was too much of that happening to enjoy the game and for the flow of the offense. So that particular change is the one that intrigues me the most. And of the ones that, I'm kind of, I look at and I wonder about, I guess it would be the point after. But moving the ball up to the 3-yard line for an opportunity to go for two and moving the PAT convert back could force some gambling coaches to take a chance or two. It should be interesting in that respect. But I think all in all, every proposal was, again, presented to help improve the game flow, reduce penalties and stoppages, and and have our game evolve as it should.
The five interior linemen on the punt, Ed, was that so? Because I'll be honest, when I watch punts, I'm not staring at the offensive lineman. I usually look at the punter, then you watch the ball in the air. Were guys getting out of their blocks and leaving way too early and limiting returns? Was this a serious enough issue that they had to change it?
Yeah, we felt that the return game, how could we find ways to improve the return game, especially when the ball bounces on the ground once or twice? We want to give the returner every opportunity to be able to pick up the football with a little bit of room to advance the football. Now, again, if he catches it in the air, and there are guys that are a few yards back, it makes a big difference. Just to give you an example, in recent years, when the ball was punted, the front line was 8-9 yards down the field by the time the ball was punted. Well, now that 8 or 9 yards is no longer a luxury to the punt team. They have to wait until the ball is punted. So you think about it. You get a returner like Kendall Lawrence or in Hamilton or some of the returners that are in this league, you give them a little more space, you would think that it would increase the opportunities for returns, whether the ball is caught or picked up off the ground. And then from there, you'd hope that the offense, the changes that were made on the offense will allow the offenses to be able to open up freely, throw the ball down the field and more opportunities for big plays, which is what I think fans really want to see. They want to see a free-flowing, fast-paced football game with limited interruptions, limited interruption by the officials, and they want to see a clean game played by the players on the field.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. Rule changes today. Now, you talked about, gambling coaches. 3 yards, compared to 32, especially in windy conditions, I think it's a no-brainer to go for two.
Again, that'll be in the coach's hands, right? But at least from there, there was some give and take on that. But moving the ball up to the 3-yard line, especially if you have an offense that's clicking and doing well, and then, as you mentioned, with the wind conditions, it's not that much of a gamble anymore. It's pretty much, it probably makes more sense to go that route. But In other cases where a team falls behind, you may end up getting a team that chooses to – that gets into a rhythm and they decide to score – they score a touchdown and then may go for two every time. I mean, we've seen it in college ball in the U.S. Chip Kelly, when he was at Oregon, he would go for two majority of the time, and people thought he was crazy, and then next – you know, he's got 60 points. So, you never know, right? But, it'll be interesting to see – As the season goes and which way coaches decide to play, and in some of the stadiums that have wind and adverse wind, coaches may change a coach's opinion on what he does after a major.
You talked about the no contact after 5 yards would improve the flow of the game. The speed of the game, the length of the games is something I know everybody wants to shorten. You know, the games are stretching past 3 hours in a lot of cases sometimes. Officials, the coaches now can't ask for measurements, which was kind of a quasi timeout at times. And also the offense, you being a former offensive player, how they can just single it in so it's not going to allow as many substitutions for the defense. How do you think that impacts the game?
I think that's going to impact the game a lot as well. Again, a team has to decide whether they want to go up-tempo, right? And if a team is in rhythm and they're able to go on the field and go up-tempo and run off 3, 4, 5, 6 plays in a row and there's no substitution, I think our fans would enjoy that. I think that's the kind of pace that you'd love to see an offense be able to do. I know I would love to see our offense be able to do that if we go out there and choose to do, to be able to stay on the field. If you have a sizable advantage as far as personnel is concerned and the defense not being able to make the substitutions, I'm all for taking advantage of that. So I think, in that respect, all those things are a culmination of trying to speed up the game as far as the time and reduce the amount of stoppages, as mentioned earlier. But again, I'm not sure that the entire league is going to all of a sudden flip and turn into an up-tempo style offense right away. But the door is open for offenses to now take advantage of that.
Ed, you also announced today the Florida camp. You'll have Riley and Nichols there, and then all first-year players. Will you have any other veterans at the camp?
No, we don't plan to have any other veterans at the camp. We want to have obviously we want our quarterbacks there. We want to give some of our first-year players an opportunity to to get used to the offense and the defense and our coaching staff and our tempo of practice. And it gives us an opportunity to evaluate and assess the players that are there. Because there won't be much turnover on our roster, this year, which is a good thing. There's a lot of players returning from last year's squad. We're going to get a chance to see from a talented pool of players which players can earn an opportunity to fill those holes vacated by players that have either left through free agency or players that we've moved away from and decided that we wanted to upgrade our roster for.
Joe Burnett, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. Can you give us, Eskimo fans, a reason why Burnett was a guy that you and Coach Jones felt was somebody you didn't need in the organization?
It wasn't anything personal against Joe. Again, as you evolve and upgrade your roster, we're looking to, it was numbers or one thing. We have a philosophy, we do want to get a little bigger in our secondary and you got to stay healthy as well. We kind of moved on throughout the year and guys like Otha Foster and Alonzo Lawrence. We had some guys go out there, step up and continue to play. And we know that there's going to be opportunities for some of these young players that we're bringing in. And when we looked at our roster and decided that we needed to make some moves, it was evident that Joe Burnett, wasn't going to be able to survive, some of the roster moves that we were making moving forward. That said, Joe is a great player, good professional. He's done he was an exceptional human being around here. He did everything we asked. It's just that sometimes, we have to move to improve, and our main motivation here is to improve our roster, to give ourselves a chance to take our game to the next level.
And you guys uncovered Dexter McCoyle at one of your open camps last year, and he turned out to be a heck of a ball player. You expect? I don't know if you can guarantee to find a Dexter McCoyle every year by any stretch, but how many of those open camps are you going to have? And you know, how many guys do you think from those camps you'd expect to bring to main camp?
Well, I mean, we've had probably over 25 of those camps this offseason. You know, Coach Jones and Paul Jones and Torrey and all the other scouts. And, you know, I'm leaving this Friday to go do the California stuff. So, I mean, when we're at our camp next week, we've put together the best players that have come out of our those individual camps, and we're going to let them all compete with one another. You never know which player is going to step up and be that special player, but you'd hope that the players that you do invite to your main training camp are players that not only can compete for a position on your football team, but can push the players that are returning to your football team, and you have a competitive camp. As far as the numbers of those players being invited from the camp, that'll be a discussion that'll happen as we have a chance to evaluate those players. But it won't be too many players because, again, when we look at our roster, there aren't too many changes that need to be made. But the 75 players that we do bring to camp will be the best 75 that we could put together. And we feel very good about that. And, you know, we're optimistic about the things that we're doing, and we're you know, we're just trying to continue to build consistency here, you know, in our organization and our football team, and you know, and that's part of that process is going out and scouting and getting the best players we can find, giving them the opportunity, and they take the opportunity and run with it. And as you mentioned, I mean, if you're fortunate enough to be able to become the league's rookie of the year, fantastic, but if not, be able to compete and play well when called upon and be a player that can impact our roster when needed.
Ed, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate your time.
Hey, we see you tomorrow at the U of A.
Yes. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, you know me. I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm emceeing it. Good. I needed someone to take a few shots at. So.
Yeah, well, hey. Give me a good.
Hey, are you going to wear a Kobe Bryant shirt?
Actually, you know, I only wear Eskimo gear to outside events, but you know, my Kobe jersey.
You might have it on underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.